Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
He is a Jew. He's very funny.
You know what? Fuck today.
You almost
oh my god. Okay.
we you didn't mean to play the song.
No, I didn't mean to play this song. Welcome to Two Live Jew. Fuck boy. Compliments of Dark Match Steve. I think that parody was meant to play the CD player that I usually use. It was not working, so I just grabbed a CD, shoved it in CD player 2, and thankfully it worked, but it wasn't exactly the track I was looking for, but that's okay. Welcome to Two Live Jew with Anna and Seth Kushner.
Hello.
Dude, I am not... If this is your life that you don't sleep well, no wonder why you're such a wreck, because I have not been sleeping that great, and not because I don't sleep well, but I have... horrible bedtime habits, including just not being able to put down whatever video I'm watching or just staying up too late, being a fucking asshole. And then I go to bed way too late. And especially with the earlier alarm I now have to set because we have to be here earlier for the
5:30 meeting.
Right. And I live about a half an hour away. So instead of waking up at 5, I'm leaving at 5. Basically, I suck and I'm super mad at myself. And I was really, really, really mad at myself on the way in.
Today?
I was driving and I was just like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, why can't you just do this one simple thing? I feel like such a fraud, Seth.
Why? Because
I'm a fucking fraud.
This is interesting because last week or the week before we talked about sleep and I told you all my horrible sleep habits. I eat at night. I'm on my fucking phone. I'm walking around my neighborhood. Like I don't, you know, because I try not to get freaked out. It's the middle of the night and like just naturally, you know, I'll end up going back to sleep. But now you're saying, I didn't know that you had horrible habits. I thought you threw your phone fucking in another room. Mm. You go to bed, you don't look at it. You sleep 12 straight hours. I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I suck.
Is it because of the new schedule?
No, I just suck in general when it comes to bedtime habits. Once I'm in bed, I don't do anything dumb. It's really just the time at which I start to get ready for bed that is the biggest, I think it's the biggest, I don't want to say it's the biggest problem in my life, but I feel like that is the first domino that falls that fucks everything else up in my life.
I mean, what time do you start your descent to bed? I mean, where does it all go wrong?
My problem is, okay, I find people's schedules wildly interesting, but I understand that I'm in the minority. Most people, it's so funny. My friend was talking to, I was talking to her about this on Monday. I was like, well, walk me through a day. She's like, how is this interesting? I was like, dude, you have no idea how interested I am in people's schedules. It is so telling about what you prioritize, what you value, what you enjoy doing.
Oh, interesting.
Like, it says so much about a person, what time they wake up, what's the first thing that they do? Do they immediately grab the phone? Do they have an hour of, like, no electronics? Do they try to get... first sun in their eyes? Do they meditate? Do they cold plunge? What do they do? Do they start their day with the fucking donut? Or do they have eggs and oatmeal? Like, that sort of shit combined all together in your, quote, typical day says so much about who you are as a person. It is unreal. Most people think it's super boring. I do not.
Do you think that the way we wake up in the morning where, we wake up, we just throw on clothes and, you know, get in our car. And I mean, I'm up for 15 minutes before, you know, I'm already driving across the bridge.
I would say that in my perfect fantasy world of morning routines, this would not be it. But it starts with me preparing better the night before.
Like laying your clothes out or something?
No, I do that.
Okay.
I do that.
I do that sometimes too.
I think that that's because it's just one less decision that you have to make that's already made for you. And it just kind of streamlines the process of getting ready. And like you and I mean, by the time that it takes me to wake up, do all the things I need to do and walk out of the house is 16 minutes. So
yeah, I don't have it down to the exact, which now I'm kind of curious how long it takes me to get out. Some days I take a little more time than others, but what I do on is like I'll go and I'll get the car and then I'll go, oh, I don't have my phone. I'll go back upstairs.
Oh,
I don't have my glasses. Oh, I got to go back upstairs. I just can't get all my shit together in the morning.
Here's the thing. I always prepare the night before in terms of what I need to bring. You know, like if I'm bringing a special something like a baked good or some shit, I'll write a post-it note the night before with my keys over it so that I don't forget it.
Okay, all right,
that sort of
bad.
Thing. But then here's the kicker: my memory is insane, so there's really no need for me to write a note. But I always do anyways. But writing the note actually seals the memory in my mind, so I don't need the note. But writing the note is what helps me remember it the following morning.
All right, before you became a fraud, talk to me about you know when you started getting into fraudulent territory, and tell me what the last couple, because look, I told you, no, not your whole life, God.
I think everyone has some, by fraud, I mean like I have, it's either crippling self-doubt or imposter syndrome, or I just feel like a fraud, point blank.
And the fraud comes from?
Well, I talk about fucking health and fitness and nutrition and all this stuff, and I am fucking up the most basic, most fundamental pillar of health, which is sleep.
I think maybe, and
why am I like this?
Maybe you're just in a sleep slump. I don't think that you have to.
I suck.
You have to see. This is that you're down on yourself much for not sleeping.
I know, but
you feel like shit.
Well, do I feel like shit in the sense that I'm tired or that I'm mad at myself? Because yes to both.
I know that you're mad at yourself, but are you mad? I mean, you're not physically, I'm sure you're holding up.
I'm all right, but I'm just like, man, I could improve my quality of life. Like by probably a factor of four, if I would just sleep, put that at the forefront of what I need to do.
What time did you go to bed last night?
Well, I mean, I was in bed at 11, which is ridiculous because I'm waking up at 4:35.
Right.
And then I was like in and out of sleep. So then I ended up sleeping on the couch because I just know I'm a weirdo and I know that I can fall asleep on the couch. And it was raining, and I could hear the rain in the living room.
That's nice.
And so I have the fan going. I'm on the couch. It kind of reminds me of, did I tell you that I used to live with a random Thai couple when I was in Australia, and I had to live on the couch for like 4 or 5 months?
I don't think I ever heard that.
It just reminds me of that time, and I don't know.
Was that a good time for you?
Yeah, it was great. I was previously living with a Brazilian drug dealer.
Oh.
And when that ended poorly, I ended up moving across town with a Thai couple that didn't speak English, a random Swedish girl, and then in my room was this Brazilian chick. It was like the United Nations.
I wonder if this Thai couple ever thinks about you.
Probably not. I mean, it seemed like they had a revolving door of people. There were probably like two or three people that were in the solo room where the Swedish girl who I was friends with, like she left and then someone else came in. I didn't befriend them.
Is this like, are they sex trafficking or is this like you pay them?
You pay them.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I was just renting out half a room essentially. And the bed was so unbelievably atrocious that I was waking up with like a fucked up back end. I was just like, this is ridiculous. I can't sleep like this. So there was a couch in the living room. And so I just told them, hey, I can't sleep in the bed. I'm just going to sleep in the living room until I go back home to America. And I don't even know if I asked them. I just started doing it.
They were cool with it?
I mean, no one yelled at me.
Okay.
No one was ever hanging out in the living room because the Asians, they stuck to themselves in the room. The random Swedish girl, again, same thing. And no one was like hanging out. So I felt like it was kind of an open space for me to just go and mark my territory at night. But I was always very courteous and would, you know, pack up all my pillows and whatnot and bring it back into my room. So it wasn't just out there during the day.
This is back when you were proud of your sleep schedule and your habits.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. It was a good time. It was a fun time. It just reminds me of that time always sleeping on the couch. And the couch was great. Loved the couch.
Okay.
So
it worked out.
I'm a big fan of couch sleeping. So yeah. It reminds me of that time, and it makes me happy.
But if you're in and out of sleep, like I don't know if that's something that I don't know if that's anything you can control.
No. It's not that once I'm asleep, I'm great.
Okay.
It's the going to bed late. I'm sleeping great, but just not enough, if that makes sense.
All right. I understand.
It's my fault, is what I'm saying.
It's about throwing yourself in bed.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. And not fucking around watching, you know what I watch.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, you watch.
Calories in, calories out, or artificial sweeteners killing you more than sugar is, blah, 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 energy balance, blah, 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 metabolism. Just going hard in the paint with glycolysis and lipolysis and all this other
stuff. Do you
believe
in anything like light and fluffy around bedtime? Like a
light.
Sometimes
I watch people eating donuts. Do you understand how demented I am? I'm either watching people gorge themselves on all the shit I won't allow myself to eat, or I'm reading about all the signs about why I should be eating the healthy way that I do.
It's like you're borderline punishing yourself before you go to bed.
I'm twisted. I'm sick and twisted, man.
I know.
That's the conundrum I'm in right now.
I want you to get better. I don't know how. I hate hearing that you're down on yourself, because I feel like if you're bringing it up, I mean, it's probably 10 times worse than you're letting on.
Oh yeah, it's bad. Just because I just don't understand how I can keep making the same mistake, and I'm like, is it a mistake? Because I'm intentionally doing it.
What's the mistake of not going to bed?
Get in the fucking shower. Because what happens is, and again, this is probably horrendously boring for other people, but whatever. I have to listen to racing stuff. You have to listen to my schedule. That's how we do things. But when I'm at the crossroads of I should get ready for bed, I'm like, man, I'm so tired. I just want to sit for a few more minutes. And the few more minutes turns into 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And I'm sitting there. And then I get to a point where I'm so unbelievably tired, but I'm like, fuck, it's so late, that I finally drag myself into the shower to start getting ready for bed. But by then, I missed the mark. It's too fucking late. I should have been in bed an hour prior.
Oh, man. I I'd probably be the opposite. Like, I get in bed around 8 or 9, but I mean, I'm up, you know, 4 or 5 times throughout the night.
Like, you when by up, you mean you get up.
Like,
you
I
move
wake
around.
Up. Like, I wake up. Yeah. Okay. So, which is just, it's the fucking worst. But that's how it's always been my whole life. So,
oh, God. I feel like if we just got better sleep, you know, and I'm obviously being hyperbolic, but I feel like that solves like 75% of your problems.
I mean, I know,
less anxious, you're making better decisions, you're more calm. Like, everything is better when you've had a good night's sleep. You know that.
That's what I was going to say. I can say for sure, like, after I've slept a lot, you know,
yeah.
you go, oh, shit. Like, you wake up and you don't know what fucking day or time it is. Like, man, that was good. I feel better.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as, like, you know, sustained success off sleeping, I can't even attest to that, because it's not anything I've ever had in my life.
Jesus.
I just started taking melatonin 2 days ago, so I'm hoping.
Fuck that shit. It makes me piss like a racehorse.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. it just makes me pee all the time, and then I can't go to bed because I have that feeling where I have to go to the bathroom.
I got that. I got that same fuck. How many people have that? Where you
the
like,
melatonin thing?
No. The tinge where you feel like you have to pee, and
just
then you
even a little bit.
Yeah, and then you got to get it out. Well, my thing is, like, I wake up to pee in the middle of the night. So my whole thing is, I believe that if I go pee this one last time at 9:17, that miraculously I won't have to pee again until I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Which is just never the case at all. But that it makes me feel that way.
Right.
And I have to brush my teeth several times before bed.
Several.
Like, I'll do it one time, and then like I'll go back like after like 30 minutes of being in bed, like I'll go back and I'll do it again. Like, it's that's probably an OCD thing. So
listen, that's not my OCD thing, but I get it. When people are like, you're gonna think I'm so weird, I'm like, no, go ahead and try me. Unless you're eating dead people or fucking kids. I get it. I'm a weirdo.
And I'm not even watching TV or anything like that. Like, I just enjoy just like a dark room, and like that's how I can go to sleep. But again, I can't stay asleep, so I don't know what the cure for that is. We know what the cure for you is. You just gotta start
just
your descent
be better,
a little earlier.
Dude. It just sucks, and it's crazy because I always talk about discipline. That's where I get mad at myself, because
you're not a hypocrite.
Yes. Yes, I am.
No,
yes,
no.
I am. Don't tell me I'm not.
I think
I need to be punished.
I understand that you feel that way right now, but like you're not. You preach a healthy lifestyle. You preach all these things that you do most of the time, but out of like you see, it's not something that it can be done 100% of the time. You know,
I understand. And so, but this is the easiest fix, and I'm fucking up every time.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's an easy fix for you, because you've got so much shit going on in your head at nighttime. You're like, let me sit here. Let me watch people eat donuts.
Yeah.
Let me go downstairs. Let me go on the couch, or should I stay in bed? Like, there's a whole lot of things bouncing around there.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that you actually stayed down. So you melatonin, you're off just because it made you pee?
Yeah, I'm fuck melatonin. I want that good stuff.
I understand.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And you know, it's I never had melatonin in my life because I've always used weed. So now, like, I just take, like, some of my daughter's melatonin, like, 10 milligrams or something like that. And I'm, like, fucking, like, my eyes are fucking closing. Yeah. Yes! It's insane. Yeah.
It makes me drowsy, but like I said, it makes me piss. So.
Yeah, it's just something I never tapped into because I was like, weed can't keep me down. How's this melatonin, man? But
the
melatonin, I'm a big fan of it right now.
Maybe you're just very sensitive to it. That's awesome.
No, I like it. It's like if I only needed just a small amount of weed to get high, like I'd be so happy. I would save so much money. It'd be awesome. But, you know, I've been doing it for a while, so I need large amounts.
Yeah, just I get you.
So that's where I'm at with that. I wanted to share.
Yeah. I need to be better, and I don't understand how I have such a short memory where it's like, do you not remember the day that you just went through and I'll get like, even if I'm tired of shit, I'll get a second wind at like 10:30 PM. Like, woo, I can watch 10 more minutes of this video. Woo, maybe 5 more minutes. Woo. Like, I always do that. You know why? Cause I'm a fucking night owl. I like the night.
You are a night. You're not.
I'm not a morning person, dude.
And this.
That's why I feel like a fraud, because I have this job.
Well, listen, you were on, and I don't know if you were a night owl before the bone put you on.
I was.
You used to work at like 10 o'clock at night on Johnny B Show. Then you would work from 12 or 1 to.
We went from 9. I went from 9 to 1 a.m.
9 to 1 a.m. And you hosted that last hour.
I did.
Right, which is, so you 9 to 1 a.m., you get home, you finally, by the time you're going to bed, it's like 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. And it's not like I would just go home and go straight to bed. I'd dick around. So when I got fired from Cox, I went from 1 week going to bed at 3, 4 in the morning, because I'd get home at like 1:30. And then the following week, I had to be here at 6 o'clock a.m., so I was waking up at 4:30. So I was, at least now I can at least power through the show, but back then the first 6 months were an absolute nightmare.
I don't even think...
I was like falling asleep at the wheel on the way here. It was terrible.
That happens sometimes to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you even talked about that, though. Like, I don't think you sharing that you were having a hard time adjusting the schedule, like, I don't feel like that was ever brought up, but it's a great point, and it's something that waking up this early is something you never get used to. So when you come from a place of, like, completely flipping your schedule, you know, I think everybody shouldn't have been so hard on you when you first got here.
Oh, I mean,
I think apologies are meant to be sent right now.
I want no apology. It's okay. But yeah, that was a rough transition for sure. And it wasn't just even a week, a month, or it was like probably honestly 4 months where my body was just fighting me. You know, my poop schedule is all off. Have you ever taken, I mean, you do morning radio. So, but the thing that it reminded me of is if you're used to waking up at a normal hour, say like, you know, between 7 and 8 a.m., I guess. And then you say you have a flight that leaves at 6 a.m., so you have to get up at 3 or something crazy.
Yes.
And you get to the...
I'm getting anxiety.
You get
this
to the airport at like 4:15 a.m., and you're just fucked up. Like, you kind of have to shit, but not really. You're hungry, but you're not. You're tired, but you're kind of, like, buzzed.
Do I get caffeine or do I just fall asleep on the plane?
Right. You're just fucked up. You know what I noticed, too, is that my body temperature regulation is all off. So I'm hot, I'm cold, I put on a jacket, I immediately take it off. I'm bouncing around. My body's just trying to figure it out. That's what it's like working here.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. But that's how it felt is I just felt off as fuck for maybe 4 or 5 months. And then I settled in, and now it's kind of, it's at least my circadian rhythm is on point. Like, I start to get sleepy at 9:30, but then I just make bad decisions, dude.
Do you stay up? You stay up late on the weekends?
Later, yeah. But I sleep in, dude. I can sleep. I can sleep with no drugs 14 hours. 15 hours. I could probably go fucking 17 hours.
I don't even know.
But all that's telling me is that I'm not sleeping enough during the week, because there's no way that I should be sleeping 15 hours and I still need an alarm to wake up.
How do you feel when you wake up? Do you feel like you died? And I don't even know.
You feel incredible. You're like, wow, I didn't know my body could feel this fucking good.
Do you believe that, because I've always had a hard time, you know, believing that, like, hey, you're supposed to get, you know, 8 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep, because I just know everybody's different. And I don't know if when this world was created, if a certain number was, you know,
optimal.
Developed as far as like when we need to sleep at all. But sure. I mean, do you, do you think that everybody was meant to sleep for like 16 hours, or people like that get up frequently throughout the night? Like that might be common too.
Well,
or is that abnormal?
Well, here's the thing. You definitely shouldn't be sleeping 16 hours, which is an indication that I'm clearly not getting enough sleep during the week, where my body is trying to make up for it, or just so fucking tired that I put myself into an unmedicated coma, which is insane. There's been studies to suggest, and most people aren't interested in the evolutionary process of our sleep schedules, but to suggest that sleep wasn't constant. Like, you'd go to sleep for a few hours, you'd wake up. I forget exactly where this research was, but I remember reading it when I was in grad school. Like, sleep wasn't consistent. You would sleep for a few hours, you'd wake up for a few hours, then you'd go back to bed for a few hours. But you were mostly waking up with the sun, which made sense. But you're usually going to sleep with the sun as well. So maybe it was also seasonal, too, even though we evolved near the equator. So, you know, it's probably more even in terms of times of day and night, but
man, this is very deep stuff. Yeah. I think you just got too much shit on your mind. I think it's not necessarily like the descent. I think that I don't know necessarily what you have going on, but I would imagine there's probably more stuff on your mind than usual, or you're just in your head that you think you're a failure, you're a fraud, you're a hypocrite, and then that's bouncing around too.
Well,
that can keep you up at night.
That's not keeping me up though. It's bad bedtime habits that's keeping me up. And yeah, I have those thoughts all throughout the day, but they usually don't keep me up at night. Okay. I'm usually ready to just retire and say like, fuck it. I like having, what do they call it? I kind of have like a fatalistic, I think that's the word. I don't think it's nihilistic.
Mm.
More like a fatalistic perspective on things when I start to rattle off in my brain. I go, okay, Anna, you're going to be dead soon.
Holy shit,
and man, none of this really matters, your little baby problems. So just go to bed.
That makes me
sleep sound.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding.
No,
I'm not kidding.
There's no way you say you're going to almost be dead, so just go to sleep.
I whenever I start to get really upset about something in my head, or I'm overthinking, or I ruminate, which is my new favorite fucking hobby now. But
what does that mean, ruminate? Can you tell me?
Like obsessive thinking.
Okay.
Like you sit and you wallow. People with depression do this where they sit and they think about the failure and they stew in it. Exactly.
Okay.
So I do that a lot, even though I don't think I'm depressed. I'm still looking for a therapist, by the way, that I haven't.
I don't think you're going to find the right one.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Well, only because you've been looking for this life. It's like the girl that's got it's like the girl that's got the princess complex and she can never meet the right guy because she has all these expectations. I feel like for the therapist you have like a certain list of criteria, which is totally fine.
I really don't.
But how come you haven't found anybody?
Because I message them and they don't get back to me. So it's like,
It's
like dating all over again.
Wait,
it's a nightmare.
You call them or you just send them like emails?
Emails.
You don't want to, you won't pick up the phone?
Well, usually I feel like I'm texting after business hours. You know, that's when I get to it.
That's when I like to call, though. I leave a voicemail. That's my favorite thing to do is call after business hours and go, hey, I'd like to make an appointment. Call me back.
Shit, all right, I'll do that. You know what? I'll fucking do this today. That's good.
You like that idea?
Yeah, I'll just call I'll call during business hours. I don't give a fuck. But just be like, hey, bitch, I need you. And also, I'm kind of dead set on this one therapist because she was recommended by another therapist. Like, that therapist got back to me and was like, your problems are kind of out of my wheelhouse. Why don't you go to this person? And that person was already on my radar. So I'm like, oh, shit, I just got a Yelp review on a therapist. And then I know this isn't something you should do, but I look at the therapist. I like the way she looks. She is...
She has a helpful face.
She's relatively young, so probably in her 40s. So she looks like she has some experience.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gas. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 up front payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Under her belt. She's not too hot, but she's attractive.
Right.
So she might, I feel like we're a little bit on the same level there. So if I, because it's weird if I would be like, for example, I'm like, I feel like I'm ugly, I'm unattractive, you know, no one finds me attractive, whatever. Because sometimes those thoughts go in my head. And if you're talking to a fucking uggo about that, then I'm like, dude, well, I am hotter than you, you know. So I feel bad saying that out loud to someone who's, I'm so much hotter than, but someone who's just about my level of attractiveness where it's like, they're all right, but, you know, not intimidating me. Some, you know, they could probably relate to things I say. I like that
I
shit.
I understand. I just want to go back to where you said you didn't have a list of things that, parameters for getting. Now you got to make sure it's a woman, it's a, she looks young enough, she's somewhat hot, but not too hot.
I mean, it's not a requirement, but it just, it makes, I'm drawn to people who just, they look fucking average. I like average. Average is underrated. Average is awesome. You just feel comfortable with them and they can kind of relate to you because they're like, maybe they have a little bit of self-confidence, but they're probably insecure like you. You know what I mean? I just like that people can, that, I like when I say my problems to someone and they give you that nod like, yeah, versus that person that looks perplexed. They're like, I don't get it. You know, like,
That's how you look, by the way, like, a lot of the times. I feel like when I tell you stuff, you have to look. I'm like, oh, man, she thinks I'm a fucking idiot.
No, but exactly. But you want to be with people that can kind of relate to your shit a little bit. At least that's what I think. I mean, I'm not, I haven't gone to many therapists. The last one I had looked like a child molester, so I'm really trying to move in a direction where I feel a little bit more safe.
I think it'd be hard to find somebody to relate to unless, like, you latched on to, you know, something that they had. But I if a therapist goes, why are you here? Like, what do you want to get out of this? What would you say?
I want you to teach me tools so I know how to help myself when I'm going through it.
Okay. Okay,
when
I'm coping getting, mechanisms.
I don't want you to just sit and listen to me. I got enough friends for that. God bless them.
You don't want the pills.
I don't want the pills. I want to do this on my own. Teach me ways to help me get better. It's okay. Basically jujitsu for my mental health.
No. I think that's perfect.
I want to be a black belt. And right now, I'm a fucking clear belt. I got no belt at all.
You feel like you're weak mentally?
Yes. Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I feel guilty that I even have to get help because my life on paper is awesome.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't live in Yemen. I have my health. I have a great relationship. I have amazing friends. I'm making enough money where I can support myself. Why am I so fucked up? So that kind of makes me mad because I'm like, I should be able to handle this, but I'm not. So I need some backup.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I would tell my therapist is like, help me help myself. I don't want you to just sit here and, of course, I want them to listen to me. And I love talking about myself. Everyone does. But I will pause for them to help me out.
I don't think you're one of those cases where they're going to be like, in 6 months, they're going to be like, all right, you know what, Anna, you're doing great. Let's just have you come in, like, you know, every couple of months now. I think you're going to be like every week or for, you know, a while. I think
hopefully.
I mean,
I like it. I would like that to just be on track.
I think the first thing a therapist is going to have you do is not be so hard on yourself. I think that's where a lot of it's going to start.
I tell myself that. That is not helping
me. Well, they'll tell you it in a way that makes you stop doing it.
Like,
that's their job.
Don't be hard on yourself. Yeah, no shit, bitch.
It's a way to, they'll frame it in a way where you, like, you've thought about it, but then it'll make perfect sense. Or at least that's what they're supposed to do, Anna.
Yeah.
It's like they're supposed to make you feel like that. So, I mean, I hope they do.
Yeah,
I want you to be okay, because I know having these thoughts in your head throughout the day, and I know that we joke about them a lot, but it's serious when you're like, am I ugly? Like, do people like me at my job? Like, all this other, like, whatever's going through your head, like, it's a million different things. You know, same with me. It's it sucks, man. And and like I said, that's why I'm on medication, because I tried all the coping mechanisms, didn't work, and I just couldn't live a life anymore where I had all those thoughts on my mind every single day, because it was ruining
my
life.
Yeah.
And it was like I wanted just a better quality of life where I didn't have to do, you know, mental gymnastics 16 times a day to try to get right. And I know and I know I like the path that you're on, where you're trying to take care of this for yourself. I just think that there's a lot of layers to getting you to probably where you want to be.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. But I feel like step one is getting better sleep. Like, if I'm just better about that, then even when shit gets thrown my way, I'll be much better able to just handle it. Whereas when I am underslept, like most people, you get triggered way more easily by, you know,
life.
Someone being a shithead on the road, or, you know, maybe your order isn't right, where other days you're like, well, whatever. But then if something goes wrong, the smallest thing, man, you'll just fucking lose your mind. So I just feel like step one is get better sleep. I feel like that will kind of help about 65 to 75% of my issues, in the sense that I'll just be able to be a bit more resilient when it comes to negative thoughts, compulsive thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. So,
are you rolling today?
Yeah, I rolled last night a little bit. That was also disheartening.
I picked up the lingo, by the way, with you rolling now. I hope you like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what happened yesterday? They kicked your ass or something?
Yeah, I just didn't do as well as I thought, and I ran through that in my mind for the next 45 minutes after class. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, why am I so bad?
And that's supposed to be like your release, Anna. I mean, it's making you more fucked up.
Yes.
That's,
yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It seems like it's. I mean, you're obviously admitting it and, you know, putting a lot of it on sleep, but it seems like it's worse than it has been.
No doubt.
Okay.
That's why I started looking, trying to research therapists in the area, because I was like, the volume is getting turned up to a point where I'm not feeling comfortable that I can fully handle it in a healthy way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The first step will be you're going to actually call a therapist now.
Yes.
You're done emailing.
Done emailing, because all the shitty ones get back to me. And even the one, like, I was kind of surprised. They get back to me, and I even like gave them a compliment. I'm like, you got great reviews, or you were recommended by someone else. I lied. I just said that so they would, you know, because whatever. I just wanted them to get back to me.
What the fuck was all this fluff you got to give them?
Yeah.
You just say, I'm looking to make an appointment. I hope you don't suck. See you soon.
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I emailed. It was the wrong person. I thought I was emailing the somewhat attractive but not too hot chick.
Right.
But I emailed someone else, and I'm like, listen, you were recommended. And then I realized I had sent it to a wrong therapist, but I was like, yeah, fuck it. Like, that's cool. They'll get a kick out of that. And then they got back to me, and they were kind of shitty about it. They're like, well, we don't really have a lot of time, but if you could maybe, do Wednesdays or something. It was just, like, really curt and rude.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
what if I was on the verge of killing myself? Person, you piece of shit. So I didn't get back to them. Like, fuck you.
Was that a psychiatrist or was that a therapist?
I'm not talking to any psychiatrist.
Okay, no. It's psychiatrists are very stiff. Like, it's not like therapists or like the therapist, like secretary and stuff that I've dealt with before. It's a little bit more like, I don't want to say light and fluffy, but like at a psychiatrist, it's like they go, it's very stiff. That's how they would treat you on the phone. Like, if you want to fucking come, you can come. But, you know, we only got this one spot. So it's up to you whether you want to be fucking crazy for the rest of your life or not. There was one time I was seeing a therapist, one of my many that I saw. And I got there, I don't know, let's say my appointment was at 8. You know, I got there, you know, a few minutes before 8. And I knocked on the door. It was like in a shopping plaza.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything at all. So I'm like standing out there, and then it's like after 8, and you know, so my appointment's gone, or, you know, it's past it.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, I see my therapist come, and it unlocks the front door, and then like didn't open the door, just unlocked the door after she was late. And I was standing there, and I was like, this therapist is late. And then she comes and she just unlocks the door and I'm just standing here like a fucking idiot. Not that
she didn't address you?
No, didn't address me at all. Like, and not that I needed the door held, not that I needed anything, but just like unlocked it and walked away. And it was one of those, you know, glass doors you could just see straight through.
Yeah.
So I stood outside for a second and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't like how this made me feel.
Yeah.
And I fucking left and I turned my phone off and she left a voicemail and, you know, I never went back. But there was that one thing, and it was, whether it's stupid or not, that I didn't like that bothered me. And, you know, that's why I didn't see that person ever again.
No, I think that's a perfectly reasonable.
I know.
Think about that. Like, she doesn't value your time.
Right.
How can I trust this person with my deepest, darkest secrets if they don't even have common courtesy?
I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's like, I've got a list of things that I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to you about. And, you know, she was still fair. She was, you know, I had seen her maybe 2 times, so it was still like a getting to know you process.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when you hear that fucking door unlock and then nothing, and like I said, it made me feel a certain way. And that's when I go, you know, I don't like this at all. Same when I had my therapist that I saw for the longest, who used to tell me, you know, her husband passed of Alzheimer's, and she would tell me that she would talk to him at night sometimes. It became a lot of, you know, her talking to me about herself. Which,
sounds like you should get paid.
Right. It did. But I went there one day. I had to go to her house one day for an appointment. And I went in like this wait. I feel like I told you this. I went in this waiting room that was like just another bedroom. But somebody was fucking sitting in there. Like it was like somebody's like a boyfriend of, you know, that was having the appointment. And I freaked the fuck out. I was like, where am I supposed to go? I'm not used to seeing anybody at these therapy appointments. And I just fucking left.
Yeah.
I just backed. And I was in Palm Harbor and I left. And she called me and she's like, oh, my God, I hope you're OK. You know, I was embarrassed. And I finally called back a couple weeks later and, you know, told her I got freaked out by the people. But it's like when you're seeking help, it's the smallest things that will trigger you that make you feel like you're not talking to the right person. You're not in the right place.
Yeah, I totally get that. And the last time I spoke to a therapist, which was I was 20, so that was 1,000 years ago. And my school insurance only covered, you know, like a handful of people, but I didn't have a car. So I had to see the guy that was just the closest to me that I could just bike to. And that motherfucker looked like a pedophile. He really did. And what was really alarming was that even just a few weeks ago, he popped up on my Facebook as like, maybe you know this person. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
He's still going strong?
I don't know. I clicked on his profile, but the most recent picture is like 2012 or something.
Oh, man, that always has it worrying.
Yeah, he had this little rat tail of hair.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Like here? Like a little, just
yeah. No,
a piece
I know. I know the rat. I don't get the rat.
You know,
tail.
You see. Sometimes I used to see, like at least in Southern California, I'd see, like,
kids?
A lot of Mexican little boys with that hair color, with that haircut, where it's like a normal haircut, but then there's just like this weird rat tail.
Well, it was the thing when I was in elementary school,
because it wasn't a mullet. It wasn't a mullet.
No, listen.
It's the rat tail.
I'm aware. When I was at English Estates Elementary School in Orlando, there was you know, a couple kids at my class were in the school that had rat tails. And it was just like...
It's like it was a 90s thing.
Right. And as a kid, I'm just like, all right, rat tail, you know. But like when I got older, I thought about it. I was like, who would let their fucking kid walk around... I know there's worse haircuts that you can get and all this shit, but a rat, like, how did that even get invented?
I don't know. And it was like 2 snips away from a normal haircut. Like, it was just 2 fucking snips away.
Yeah, I don't know if that was just like a Florida, California thing. I don't know if that was if that took off all over the place, but there was a rat tail pandemic going on in the late 80s, early 90s, and I am so glad it ended. Like, they're bringing mullets back, bell bottoms.
It's fine. Like, I'll take it. Mom jeans.
Yeah, they're bringing it all back, except they are fucking leaving that in the past.
Yeah, it was disgusting. So, this was probably 2006. 2007, because I turned 20.
Okay.
And I go to this therapist's house, and he has this giant wiener dog, like so fat, and its name was Fruit Bat. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable.
You already felt uncomfortable right off the meeting the dog?
Yeah, it was like, and it was kind of like Scout, but Scout loves me, but it was like the way that Scout treated Babyface.
Like
Babyface,
there's like barking, and you can tell, yeah.
And it's just this, it was this giant wiener, very fat, very, very fat. And he's like, oh, that's Fruit Bat. And I'm like, this dog fucking sucks. Like, why couldn't you get a cool, mellow dog? Like a retriever, you know?
Well,
they're just so super sweet.
It also doesn't set the tone for a good appointment when a dog's barking at you,
correct,
you know, when you show up.
So, and he worked out of his house. The one thing I did like is that he had an entrance and an exit so that you were there was no crossover like you were talking about.
Oh, okay.
So you could only go in one door and then he would be saying goodbye to the previous client and they would come out like the front door.
That's how you do it. It's like a fucking magic show.
Yeah. And I knew that because I saw someone leaving his house one time and we barely made eye contact, but
I know that's the worst.
But it was fine because it wasn't like we were sitting there in a room together, yes. being like, "What's your fucking problem? Oh, these are my fucking problems."
I know.
None of that sort of stuff. So I did appreciate that about the setup. But as soon as I walk in, I see fucking Fruit Bat. That freaks me out, and then the rat tail, which was very alarming. I'm like, "Why is that there?" You know. And now I have the OCD already, so I'm like, "Why is that there? Why would a grown white man in his 60s, presumably maybe late 50s, 60s, why does he have that rat tail? The rat tail." And he's like, "So OCD is," and I'm just like, rat tail.
But did he have it like on his shoulder? Or you just, once you saw it, you couldn't get it out of your head?
Once I saw it, I couldn't get it. It's not like he didn't have it bellowing over his shoulder or anything.
Did
like
you
that.
Judge his house at all? Was there anything in the house that bothered you?
No. Okay. I honestly don't remember any of the trinkets or anything. I liked the setup. I liked the in the out thing. That was cool. That was A+. But the rat tail, I just remember being like, rat tail. But then I told myself, I'm like, "Listen, bitch, you got no money. You're 20 years old. You have this health insurance through the school. This is the only person that is going to work for you because you don't have a car. You can't drive 20 minutes downtown. You know, he lived a few blocks away from my house." So I'm like, "You just have to make this work." So I like force fitted this guy into my life as my therapist. And I'm like, "He probably knows something. He's been doing this for 30 years. Like, just try to learn something from him." And to be honest, he wasn't half bad.
Okay.
He wasn't half bad, but it took a while to look past the Fruit Bat and the rat tail.
Well, I mean, you're never going to get past the rat tail. I mean, we're sitting here, you know, 16 years later, and I mean, it's still affecting you. I mean, it's still affecting you, and this is why you might be trigger shy on, you know, finding a new therapist, because who knows what, they could have a facial tattoo. I mean, who knows what you could, their back hair might be, you know, coming out of their shirt. Like, you don't know what you're going to see that could freak you out, so I understand why you've been, you know, kind of tiptoeing around, you know, just fully diving in and finding someone.
Right. But I do feel like a pussy bitch a little bit because of the, you know, I'm like, why can't I handle this in a way that is just healthy? And I do all the things, Seth. That's the thing. Like, I'm not just sitting at home eating ice cream, although I do that occasionally. But I'm not just sitting home, like, not
working out.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm like working out.
Yeah.
I'm getting sun. I'm in nature. I'm fucking doing hard stuff. I'm out with friends. I got the relationship. I'm trying to, you know, I'm doing those things. Why aren't they solving my problems? That's what pisses me off. It's like, I'm doing the things. They're always like, "Oh, you got to do exercise." And that does make me feel better. But guess what? It doesn't last that long, Seth.
It doesn't
last that fucking long. I get home and I'm like, "Oh, here I am again, sitting with my problems." Now I'm just sweaty, not going to bed. Oh, fuck. It's 11:30. I should have been in bed 2 hours ago. And then the cycle continues.
Do you feel like if you got like a, I know you roll and stuff, but you feel like if you got like a later workout, like closer to bedtime, it would help you go to bed easier?
No, that's the problem.
Okay.
Is that I do, last night I got home at like 8:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but then you know what I do? I eat because I want
to
eat.
Well,
I wasn't even
to.
Hungry, but I like wanted to eat because I don't get hungry right after workout. It's like a couple hours later.
Yeah. I get
but
that.
But I have to eat a little something, or at least that's what I tell myself. And then I'm, you know, digesting. I can't just eat and lie down. That'll like, I'll get acid reflux.
Yes.
Yeah, you get it.
I have Tums fucking all over the house. Trust me.
Yeah. So then I wait, and that's another problem, is I eat too late. And
that's my problem. That's fucking
problem.
Right here.
Got lots of problems.
There are. We're fine. But I appreciate you opening up about your problems today.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I will tell you, and I know it obviously means nothing to you, but I don't think that you're a fraud. I think that the biggest thing in the world seems to be like, catching people in hypocrisy and then calling them out on it, and then like what happens from there? Nothing. Like, I think you've said it before, we're all hypocrites.
Yeah.
So, but I don't look at you as like, you know, some fake or fraud. I look at you as like somebody that's struggling right now, and you know, you're trying to get help and you're doing all the right things. So, you know, you just got to keep that up. But I mean, I really hope that you find somebody good to talk to soon.
I will. And I appreciate that. And here's the thing. If you call yourself out as a hypocrite or a fraud, it hurts less. It takes the wind out of everyone else's sails. Because I'm not just telling this to you in confidence. I'm saying it into a fucking microphone that's being recorded right now.
Right, but this whole...
So when people are like, oh, discipline, I thought you fucking were all about health. I'm like, bitch, I already said that. I already said that. And when I say it first, it hurts less.
I just don't know. In life, it just seems like people want to find out, you know, want to spot a hypocrite every single day, whether it's an argument or a debate. It's like you find the hypocrite and you find the hypocrisy, and then what does that just make take away like any credibility the person had as a human being, like everything just because of that? Like, I just, that just seems to be a thing in life. We can talk about this another day, probably never, but it just seems like it seems like catching hypocrites is something like people love to do, and I don't know why that is. So and then it's got somebody like you worrying about people calling you that shit.
Yeah,
so.
Well, here's the thing. I get why people want to catch other people in a hypocritical state, because especially if they're espousing or they're preaching one thing and they're doing another, it's like, how the fuck can you expect other people to do the things you're saying to do when you yourself can't even do them? Who, essentially, the question is, who are you to tell someone X, Y, or Z when you can't even do X, Y, or Z?
But,
you know what you see with the priests? Like, you know, they're telling people to live good lives, give money, and they're fucking kids in the ass. You're like, you can't even be a good person. Who are you to tell? Or the Brigitte, why am I making her name all French? Brigitte Ziegler, right? She's all anti-LGBT. She's having threesomes with women. Even you can't even do it. So who are you to tell other people? That's what people fear, because there's no defense. There's no defense. You go, people, and then when you try to defend it, you look like a moron, because you're like, well, actually, it's different. It's like, actually, it's fucking not, and you're a hypocrite. So what I do is I go, I know I'm a hypocrite, and I'm trying my best to not be one. So just give me a little grace, please. People have a lot more respect when you just come out and identify yourself as such.
I just say you're going through a little hypocritical period right now, but
I'll be back soon.
You're looking to break out of it as quickly as possible. And you'll let people know when you're good again.
It's just a phase, guys.
It really is.
I'll be back on board. Because, yeah, people want to think that they are congruent. Right? They want to think that they got the logic and they're doing the things and all of their things make sense.
And they're right. And they're right. And that's a big part of it, too, is like feeling like you're right.
Yes. Being right is certainly part of it. But they love to just tell people about how they're fucking up. But then when they're making those same mistakes, there's always an excuse. And I just say, this is where I struggle. Some people struggle with their diet. Other people struggle with whatever, being faithful to their spouse, whatever the case may be, I struggle with getting my ass to sleep, and it's destroying my life.
I mean, it seems like an easy problem to fix, but the easier...
One would think.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It's simple, not easy for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Because people are like, well, it's not hard. It's like, losing weight is so complicated. It's like, no, it's not complicated. It's hard.
Yes.
Because everyone knows how to do
it. We understand the science. It's just executing it.
It's the execution.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. I even said that in jiu-jitsu last night, where this guy was doing this move, and I was like, and then I did it, and he's like, no, it's like this. And I'm like, do you understand? I get it in my head. I get it in my eyes. But my body won't do it like you yet. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I understand the mechanics of the move you showed me. I'm sorry I look like, you know,
was
I should be on the
short
spot.
Was he mansplaining the move to you?
No, it was a simple drill, but he was like, you gotta swing. And I'm like, do you see I'm fucking trying to swing, bro? It's just not... My body, it's like a muscle memory thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're
like, my body doesn't, like, know how to move that way yet. But I get it. I don't think I'm dumb, but my body's dumb. So I feel like, you know...
Yeah. I wish I could name this podcast My Body's Dumb, but we have to keep everything like Bubba Exclusive Podcast and everything like that.
Well, that could be part of the description. I do like reading your descriptions, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do, of all the podcasts. It's like a bullet point, but in paragraph form.
I like it. I hate writing them, to be honest with you. So
no,
I,
it's good.
I don't know what the perspective it's called. I write it not from like my perspective, or it's like, As a first person, I don't fucking know. But I'm like, today on the podcast, Seth and Anna talked about how Anna can't fucking sleep or find a therapist and, you know, whatever about Seth. And I kind of just like list a few things, but.
No, I like it.
I try not to type too much. Like, I hate when people type paragraphs as their description, but.
No, it's a perfect synopsis of, you know, all the major topics that were covered.
Thank you.
But
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like this was very me-centric and now I feel uncomfortable. I feel like I just had a conversation on the phone where I just talked about myself and then it's like, all right, well, time to go now. But, and I didn't say like, how are you doing?
Oh, well, you know how I am. So
I know,
I mean, we're good.
I'm
as good as I can be. So
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right. We'll end it there with.
Trust me, it's good we focused on Anna here on this episode.
Thank you.
God bless.
See you on the next one. He's digging tunnels deep under the ground. He's just a fuck boy. Boy, toy. He is our Sethy boy. He's not your boy, toy.